He says, you're always so positive. You know, you always, and you know, I was thinking about that last night, and he's probably right, because I, you know, when you're a believer, do you know how many people know what a believer is? Yeah. A believer, really what they do is they believe, right? And if you're a believer, we know that what faith is, faith doesn't go by what it looks like. It goes by what God says. And the Bible says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So I am just positive. And maybe I'm in a little world of my own, but thank God I am, because I took the word of God and believed it. And back a few, like I didn't grow up with, I was racist, I guess, in areas, but I wasn't like that. Like, I had friends that were black, and like there was only one in Apsley when I grew up, but he was my friend. And I remember when Julie and I were married, and this is when you live in a different world, you don't even think like anybody else. And we were down in Alabama, Julie and me. And we were actually down to go to a biker's drug rehab thing to see, because I was thinking of how I could help drugs and rehab. And it was a guy that did it through, he was an outlaw biker that got born again. And not Ben Priest, but do you know his name? And it doesn't even matter. We were down there. And I just went down for a week, and I was just looking at his program and to see what he was doing and how he did it. And after I did it, I realized I couldn't do it. Because you have to be like a jail guard. Like, it was really strict, and you had to have the right housing. But they helped. They had like a 95% rate when people got out of their program that they actually never went back to drugs. They never went, and they got hooked into churches. So when we were down there, my wife was there, and I think Kylie was there, John was there, and Rebecca was there. And that's about all we had, I think. And so we stopped in this town, and we never, like, again, when you live in a different world, you don't even think the way they think. Like, when I went to Ireland, same way. I went to Catholic restaurants, and I didn't know I wasn't supposed to. I was supposed to go to Protestant restaurants because my name was John. And they said to me, if you ever go to that side of town, your name is Cal, not John. Like, I didn't think like that. And I just talked to everybody, and people would talk to you. And as soon as they found out you're from Canada, you're okay, usually. Because I told them I liked Mary too, and Mary had Jesus. So I mean, I'm oblivious to what's around me. So we went into this restaurant, and my wife was more aware than I was, right? I'm just thinking of eating. So we went in there, and it was sort of the same thing. They just let us sit there for like 20 minutes. And we were the only white people there. But I'm thinking, oh, they're busy. I never even thought. My wife says, John, let's get out of here. We need to just get out of here. I was just going to go up and get the waitress. But I didn't do any of that. We just got out of there. But so I was oblivious to all that, because I knew that Jesus loved everybody. Well, see, Jesus wasn't from Canada, right? He was from over there, and they had darker skin. And he loves the whole world. And so I'm thankful to God. And that's what I want to talk about today, is not being in Alabama with blacks, whites, but I didn't know the difference between a black and white, because I knew that God loved everybody. And thank God I grew up with a dad that love people and never put that into me, ever. Like, I didn't even think like that. And someday, people are going to realize that God loves people. And I've seen every kind of people hurt because of people saying things, doing things. And you need to stay in the Word of God. So turn with me to Romans chapter 4. And I'm going to talk about today a lot of things, but I want to talk about believing. And I was thinking about this last night. I was thinking about it yesterday. Because the Bible says nothing is impossible to him that believes. And who is it that will believe? Jesus says when he comes back to this earth, will he find what?
Faith.
Will he find faith? And I'm telling you something today, even in the Christian world and even in my life and the people around us, the people I talk to, this is something that people need to begin to develop in their life. Now, before we start, you can't develop something that you don't have, right? But the Bible says that God has dealt to every man the measure of faith, right? So everyone's got the measure of faith. It's the same. So if you grew up and you didn't believe in healing, you didn't believe in anything, when you got born again, or if you have been racist and you didn't like this one or you didn't like that one, but you got born again, you now have everything inside of you that you need to be successful in this life. It's the same with forgiveness and love. Most people, like I was telling somebody yesterday, because I'm around hockey a lot, and this fellow was saying to me, what is wrong with kids today? Let me tell you what's wrong with kids, in my opinion. My kids are not perfect. My kids aren't perfect. I'll tell you, when I was in school, and I'm just going to tell you what I actually believe today. What is wrong with society today in general? The first thing is because they took God out of schools. They've taken God out of council. They've taken God out of basically society. And that's the number one reason why. But when I was young, see, I never got babied. I was loved a lot. But I remember going to school, and I'm not being smart, and I don't think that it's right, maybe today, I'm not saying that somebody else should discipline your kids. I'm not saying that at all. But there was always, when you did something wrong, there was always a consequence to that action. And today, there is no consequence to anybody's actions in society. Because if there's a problem, then they say, well, he's not a bad kid. He needs a drug. And I'm not saying there's kids that doesn't need drugs. Because they said, if I was young, I needed drugs. But I'll tell you what helped me. Because, see, I was worse than most kids in school. Like, I put honey on the toilet seats. I put honey on my teachers. My teacher would walk by. Do you know them little things that you drew circles with? It had a really big point on it. Well, I would just have it in my hand when the teacher would walk, and she'd walk right into it. And she would yell. She hit me right over the head with the book one day. I was a rotten kid. But I'll tell you what happened. How was I able to get help? Because back then, you could. So I would go, and I'm not talking about what the schools do, because nobody's perfect. But I would go and I would get the strap quite a bit. And it was just on your hand, you held your hand out. And if you moved it really fast, they'd hit their own leg. And then they were really mad. But when I got home, I never once heard my mom and dad say, ever, Now, this is not what I'm talking about, but this is what I'm talking about. My mom and dad never once said this: John, we know you would never do anything like that. You're a perfect boy. And they phone the school and say, my son would never do that. Now, is that helping John? What's helping John? Reality. My dad would then take me straight into the bedroom and spank me again. And he'd say to me, if you ever do that again, you're going to get it worse next time. Because there was consequence. And see, today, there is no consequence. You can't even help somebody and tell them what they're doing is wrong because you hurt their feelings. Like, just in general in life. I know nobody's really excited about this, are they, today? But that's okay. Because there is consequence in life. And see, if it's going to be, if you're going to make something of your life, it's going to be up to you. Right? And so you can live in a make-believe world of your own, thinking, I don't have to forgive, I don't have to love, I don't have to believe, and whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And that ain't the way life works. If you don't get up in the morning and go to work, you're probably not going to have money to spend and enjoy your life. And people today have to take responsibility. So the Bible says here, and what we have to do is we have to believe God. Because, and that's why, with me, when I see this, I feel so sorry, because you're setting people up for failure. I'm going to just say this. I was in a dressing room, and I might have said this last week or 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, but I'm sort of oblivious to a lot of things, just so you know. Like, I just go through life and I know what I'm doing, where I'm going, and I just do it. But if I see somebody in need, I try to help them, and but I don't see everything. But I was in and my son was playing for a team in Toronto. Only once he played there, because they just lacked a player and they knew him from another team. And so we went down and did a tournament with them, and we lost in the final game. And this kid came in that's 7 years old, the same age as my son, and grabbed his brand new helmet. Did I say this last week? On Wednesday night, maybe. And he took this helmet and he threw it on the ground, a brand new helmet. And then he hoofed his dad like 3 times. And that's why it's really important to believe the Bible and read the Bible. And my Isaac looked up at me, and he was waiting for me to, like, do something, right? I said, I can't. And later I said, it's none of my business what they do. I don't get involved. I don't discipline other people's kids. I don't, like, it's not my, and I'll tell you something else. I like people at church, and it doesn't bother me at all if your little guy gets up and runs up here on the stage while I'm preaching and plays with the mic. It doesn't bother me. But what I'm saying, the Bible says, if you don't honor your father and mother, you won't live long on this earth. So when it comes to my kids, I want my kids to live long. And so when my kids, even my older kids, if they don't ever talk back to me for some reason, I don't know why, but if they ever talk back to their mother, I will talk to them and say, don't you ever talk to your mother like that. And there'll be a consequence of some sort. Why? Why? Because I want my kids to live long on this earth. And that's a promise that God said. And because I believe the Bible, I'm more willing to go against my father instincts. Because sometimes it's easier not to discipline your kids And I don't know why I'm talking about this, but it's easier not to discipline your kids than to. Because it's hard. Because it hurts you. It really actually does hurt a parent to discipline their kids. But I know the Bible says, to spare the rod, you spoil the child. Right? The Bible says if there's no consequence, your child's not going to learn to grow up proper. Anyways, so the Bible says here, so you got to learn to believe the Word of God. It's the same with, the Bible says this, and you know when it comes to looking at women or guys looking at girls? You know, because what Jesus did, he raised the standard that we're not to live like the world, we're to live different. So Jesus said, you know, you say you don't do this, but I say, and all he was doing was bringing people to a place where they needed Jesus. You know, the law says not to commit adultery. But Jesus said, I say that if you look on a girl and you lust after her in her heart, you've already done it. Right? So what's he doing? He's raising the standard that we don't live by the rules of life or our feelings or what we look like or what we see. We go by what the Bible says. And when you go by what the Bible says, you end up winning in life. And so God has dealt to every one of us the measure of faith. And see, and it's up to you and me, every one of us, to take responsibility for the Word. And that's why it's so important. The Bible says to study, to show yourself approved. Now, something that God has also given me as a pastor, if you don't want to do any of this, I'm still going to love you, and I'm still glad that you're here. Because I'm not here to judge you. I'm not here to tell you and to go through, because I think I'm also one of the only pastors. I don't know what people give in our church, and I do that on purpose. Because I'm not here to judge you, but I'm here to judge me. But I know that if I've got the Word of God, or the best thing that I know that can change your life, and I don't preach it, how is it going to affect you? Because, see, you've got to take this and you've got to do it in order for it to work. I remember back a few years ago, and this is a true story. I probably told this about 6 years ago, but there was a oil that I came up. It was like a supplement. And it's called Bitron. And they made a lot of money, but it was actually the best oil that I've ever seen. Have you ever went to any farm shows or? No way. And they have these little weights and wheels and grinders, and they put this weight on, and then they put this weight on and this weight on and this weight on, and the more weight, the more pressure, and this oil, they put regular oil in and it stops. Then they put their oil in, Pathfinder or whatever, and then it keeps rolling. Well, I took my oil with me to one of these farm shows. And I said, I got this Chinese oil. That's when I was selling Chinese tractors. I needed something good to keep them going, eh? I put this, a little drop. I said, I brung my own oil here. And I said, I just want to try it in your machine. And he said, oh, sure, that'd be great. And there was a whole bunch of people around. Well, he put every weight he could on there, and mine was just because I already knew what it was. And it was the best oil. And so everywhere I went, what did I do? I told people. I'm a pretty good salesman, actually. And it's not hard to sell something when you actually believe in it. Right? When you actually believe in something, it's not hard to sell. And I believe the Bible. See, the Bible has actually changed my life. And you know this because I'm not a preacher I'm not a philosopher. I guess I am what I am about. I take the Bible and I try to fit it in real life, and I try to see how it's going to affect your life. And it's affected my kids' lives. It's It's affected our marriage. It's affected our finances. It's affected our health. It's affected every facet of our life. Why? Because it'll change your life. Because the Word of God is real. It's real, and it'll change your life. And the Bible says here in Romans chapter 4, and I'm just going to start here because I got so much scriptures what I want to talk to. But the Bible says here, and I'm going to read from verse 1 and I'm going to go right through it. And I don't usually do that because I got so many scriptures, but if we just stay here, we're going to do her. Because people will say to me, "You're actually really happy, aren't you? How come you smile all the time?" Well, I don't smile all the time because nothing goes wrong in my life. When you actually have faith, it's the same as you having what God said. You're just anticipating. You don't know when it's coming, but it's already yours. It's as good as having it. When you actually have faith, God dealt every man the measure of faith. And when you put faith in the Bible, it's as good as having what the Bible says. And it will happen in your life if you don't quit. That's why, and see, having faith, I don't just have faith for healing or for prosperity. I have faith in the Bible because faith is being a hearer of the Word and being a doer of the Word. See, and that's why the Bible says you can, you know, some people have faith because they say they have faith, but I'll show you my faith by my actions or by my works. And so when you believe the Bible, and I remember quite a few years ago, and this is true story, but I give a fella, it was a part of our family, a lot of money. Like, a lot of money. Just to bail them out. And I didn't have the money, but I borrowed the money. Like, over $200,000. A lot of money for me. To some people, it's not. But it was a lot for me. Because I knew it was just for a short season. And then I was going to get it back. I was going to help him. And it didn't matter. I never got it back. So now I'm stuck with am I going to be a doer of the Word of God? So when you don't get that back, what happens in your life? Or my life, maybe not yours. All of a sudden, Julia says, "Can I have money? Julia, John, could you give me some money for groceries? John, we got to pay the kids' tuition. John... I blew the motor up this morning. I don't know what's wrong. Do you ever check the oil?" No. And then you got the pressure of all this. What do you want to do? I'm just talking reality here. What do you want to do? Jump up and down and be happy? No way. You want to get bitter and angry. And see what you can do to this person to get your money back. And if he doesn't, you want to do what you can do to make his life rough. That's the thoughts that you have in your life, in your mind. But the Bible says to guard your heart, because out of your heart flows the issues of your life. So no, I'm just talking like this because this is where the rubber meets the road. The Bible says to forgive. If anyone has done aught against you, to forgive them. For your heavenly Father has also forgiven you your trespasses. But Lord, now I'm just saying, but Lord, this is not $10. This is a lot of money to me. And it's taken me years Do I have an excuse to be upset? Yes. Yeah, I do. But with God, what do I have to do? I'm just telling you. You just gotta forgive them. So when you actually have faith in the Bible, faith without works is dead. So when we talk about faith, this is what I'm talking about. I'm telling you this. When we talk about faith, we're talking about doing what God says. You can say you have faith without works, and it's dead. So what is dead? The Bible says the Word of God is life, right? And it's health to all your flesh. So the Word of God will affect your flesh, your life. The Word of God will affect. So it becomes, the Word of God becomes dead to you, or it won't be able to work or operate in your life because you don't do, you're not allowing God, because God operates through faith. God still loves you. He's still there for you. He's still, he never leaves you. Like, he never forsakes you. But you're not allowing the Word to operate in your life, because what allows this to operate in your life is putting faith in it. And when you put faith in the Word of God, you're allowing God's Word to affect you. And that's why it's so important that you must forgive. And so it took me a couple of months to make a choice to forgive. That person's still at my house. I still see them all the time. And I can honestly say I don't have a thing in my heart. I just said to God one day, all right, we're going to have to figure out a plan to pay this back. How, God? I'm going to keep my heart right. And God showed me a plan. Bitterness is one of the worst things a person can have for their own life and for everybody around them. Have you ever been around a miserable person? For real, have you ever been around just an unhappy person? It's hard to be around. People die young because of that. So when I'm talking about faith, I'm not talking about, you know, faith like somewhere out there. I'm talking about God's dealt to everyone the measure of faith. And if you want the Word of God to work in your life, you've just got to do the Bible. You've got to eat stuff sometimes when it's not fair. You've got to do what God says, and you'll have great success in life. What did the Bible say? He says, if you'll be what? Willing? And what? You'll eat the what? The good of the land. And I want to tell you something. As a pastor, the same as my, as a father, I want my children to be successful. I want my church family, I want every person that comes to this church to be successful in their life. And I know this, that I'm not God. Do you know that when I first, and you might not think like this, but when I first got born again and I started to preach and I started to work here about the first 5 years, I would cry, and I'm not a crier, just so you know. But I would be up at night. I would cry. I didn't know how, because I thought I had to help people. And I could help people with money. I could help them pay their oil bill, hydro bill. Do you know how many hydro bills I paid over my life? And I don't mind. I didn't mind. It didn't help them. 2 months later, they didn't have money for hydro again. I wanted people healed. I would take time off for my kids, and I would drive people to Tulsa, Oklahoma, because that's where I knew there was a healing school that believed in healing. There was probably hundreds of other ones, but that's the one I knew. I would drive people. And they were more excited about the hotels and the pools than they were about healing. I was the one that wanted them to be healed. I was the one that I wanted their marriage to be happy. I wanted them to have what Julie and I had. And I took it all on myself. And after 5 years, I realized I can't fix people's life. I would try to say hi to everybody. I would offend people because I wouldn't look at them at church. I didn't even know that I was offending people. I love people. But sometimes after church, I got to go to a hockey game. So I just like buzz out and I'm thinking about my own kids. I love people. And after that, I realized I'm not God. I can't fix everybody's life. Even if I could help 10 people, there's 500,000 people in trouble. But you know what? God is big enough to fix everyone's problem. So I figured, just like my own kids, I figured I'm better to teach them to work than to just pay them. And once I taught them to work, they look after themselves. And so I just figured it's better for me as a pastor to try to get people to be able to believe God. And believing God is not what some people think it is. They think it's living in some spirit weird world, and it's not. When you have hard times come and people do wrong things to you, and all of a sudden you're believing God and you're doing things right, and your back goes out, and you smash your car up, and life isn't fair, that's where faith will bring you through, because that's when the time that you put God's word first. And it'll change your life. It'll transform your life. And it's not something that it can happen in a day. But it doesn't matter. If you do it, you will end up winning in life. I'm telling you. You mark my words, you'll end up winning in life. You can't sow. See, life is a seed. The Bible says, while the earth remains, you're going to have seed time and harvest. You're going to have day and winter. You're going to have summer and winter. No, fall and spring. Day and night, and seed time and harvest. And you can't sow the word of God without reaping it. And you can't sow to the flesh without reaping it. You can't cause go around. I've seen people. There's a guy I know that he has taken. I know lots of people, but I know one guy especially that everywhere he goes, he just takes from people. And I've never done one thing against him. But I know this, and I just said to him one day. He just hurts people. He takes advantage of people. He doesn't care about people. He does lies about people. He gets people in trouble with the law over lies. He's hurt so many people. And I just said to him, the law of sowing and reaping. You want to change before you reap. Because I want to, and I'm telling you, if you'll sow the word of God in your life, you will reap a harvest and it'll change your life. And it might take 20 years. It might take 10 years. That's why being a Christian isn't coming to church and praying to God. And then in God, in 2 months, changes your life, takes you out of debt, heals your body, and fixes your life, and then you can just go back and not have God, and it's a life, it's a living. We do this. This is what I do. Like, we have a chant. Not me, but I go to hockey games, and the little hockey team have a chant, and it's not a good chant. I don't even know the chant. But I know it's got bad words in it. And Isaac says to me one day, am I allowed to say that? And I said, no, you're not allowed to say that. I said, you can say the whole chant, but don't say that. Because that's not who we are. They're 7 years old, swearing. I said, that's not who we are. I know what what I told him he couldn't say is. But I said, no, it doesn't matter. That's not who we are. We're believers. And believers start something and they just do it. Like, I'm not a Christian because I'm a Christian because God changed my life. And I'm going to heaven. And I'm going to believe God. And I'm going to put the Word of God first, day in and day out. Whether everything falls apart outside, I'm still going to put God's Word first. Because I know that sooner or later, God's Word will bring you into the place that He promised if you don't quit. He has to, because God's not a liar. The Bible says here in Romans chapter 4, what shall we say then? Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found. For if Abraham were justified by works, he had whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh, the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of a man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquity are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned, when he was in circumcision or uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. I am getting to something here. The Bible says, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness, of the faith, which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that the righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And I want to tell you something. I want to say this. I'm going to read one more. And the father of circumcision, to whom? To them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of faith, that faith of our father Abraham, which he had been yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise is made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where there's no law is, there's no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith, that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And then it says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, before whom he believed God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not, as though they were. Now, who against hope, he believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. Now, I want to stop right here. How many people know the story of Abraham? If you look back in the Old Testament, and we could do that, but I'm going to tell you for this reason, for the sake of time. Abraham knew his body was dead. Do you know what I mean by dead? When God said to him, you're going to have a child, he knew his body was dead, or it wouldn't work properly. He knew Sarah's womb, the Bible says this, Sarah's womb wouldn't carry children. I don't even know if she could conceive. And he knew this, but he still chose to believe God. And he still chose to call those things which be not as though they were. Do you know what that means? It means that God's promises are yes and amen. But it's up to us to take those and believe it like it is today, even though you don't see it. And that's how you win. Now turn your Bible to Mark 11 for a minute. I just want to get here because I got so many scriptures, but I can't go to them all. But Mark 11, and see, I'm saying this because everybody wants to have faith like Thomas. Do you remember Thomas? We call him the Doubting Thomas, right? The Bible says that Jesus came to Thomas because Thomas didn't believe. And everybody I know or talk to, a lot of people, they don't want to believe until they see. They don't want to believe until they see something happen. And the Bible says, Jesus said to Thomas, "Thomas, look at the scars. Look at the holes." And he says, "Thomas, you believed because you saw. But blessed are those who don't see and yet believe." And I'm telling you, believing is not going by what it looks like. And I'm telling you, I don't know what you're going through today. And there might be nobody in here today going through anything. But I'm telling you, if you're going through something that's impossible in your life, or you need a miracle, and God's Word promises you something, you need to declare today, and you need to begin to declare what you desire in the Bible. Because the Bible says, whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive it, then you'll have it. But you got to believe it before you see it. Everybody wants to see it, and then they'll believe it. It's the same with the gifts of the Spirit, many different things. They don't want stuff, but they want it. They want what God's got, but they don't want to do what God says to do. And God's laws are not of works today. It's not if you go to church three times a Sunday or a month, God's going to give you a cookie. People think that. It's not like that. It's not even fair, because Pearl, and I'm telling you, this is the truth. Pearl was a perfect little girl growing up. She still is a perfect little girl. Well, she's not perfect, I can tell you, but I know her better than most of you. But she never did what most people think. She loved people. She was good to people. She prayed for people. She never drank. She never smoked. She never did drugs. She never slept with anybody until she was married. Like, she did all that what people think are perfect. And I did all the above. So I won't. Like, we won't even get it. And all of a sudden, I get born again, and I'm just as not good as her. Well, is that fair? Is it fair? No, it's called grace. God set it up because He knew people. He knew nobody could make her there on their own. That's why I believe Jesus. Remember Jesus, He died after He talked. Was here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's why Jesus did this. I believe that. Remember the scripture I said to Jesus? Jesus raised the standard so high, right? That He knew that nobody... That's why Jesus said, I believe this. Because he brought people to a place where who then can be saved? Like I say unto you, if you hate somebody in your heart, you've already murdered them. I know some people are in jail because they kill people. But Jesus, what He said was, if you think about it, You've already done it. So it's the same consequence. So if you look on a woman and you lust after her, every man that's normal is done at one time in their life or another. Right? He made such a high standard that he knew people could not keep the works. That's why they have to put their faith in Jesus. Because it's not by your works that you can get to heaven. It's because of faith. And it's not your works that God's going to heal you. It's your faith. It's not God's works, your works, that are going to get you God loving you to bless your life. It's God's grace and your faith in that grace. Because he brought people to a place of impossibilities. Jesus did. I can't get saved. I've looked at not just one woman, I've looked at many women over my life. And I never did nothing. I've never messed around with my wife. But what I'm saying is, if you're real with yourself, if you're true, I've seen pretty girls. It's because of Jesus. It's not because of your works that God does something for you. It's because of He loves you. And He had to make a way that mankind could come back to God. And He knew it wasn't going to come back to God through their goodness. It was because of His goodness and your faith in that. And when you put faith in God, He will bring you through. People say to me, are you going to heaven? Well, certainly I'm going to heaven. Well, how do you know? Because the Bible says so. If I put my faith in Jesus and I ask Him to come into my heart and I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. That's what the Bible says. So why do I have a hard time with anything else? I don't. I don't always do everything right, and I'm telling you that. But I'm telling you this, I know the Word of God's true. And that's why I forgive people. And that's why I forgive people. Because I know the Bible says that we're to forgive. That's why I make peace with people. The Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. That's why I am what I am today. Not because of me, because of God. And if you'll take the Word of God serious, and you'll take it and you'll put faith in it, like Thomas, not like Thomas, but like what Jesus said to Thomas. Thomas, most people will believe this if they see. But blessed are those that don't see and yet believe. That's what we are faith people. We don't have to have something visible to see to believe God. We take God's Word and we believe it and we stay with it till we see it happen in our life. And it will happen in your life. I'm telling you, mark my words, God's Word will work and operate in your life if you faint not. I don't know how long it takes. I don't know a day. It doesn't matter. Kenneth Hagin used to say it like this. If you're just willing to wait forever, it'll probably happen a lot faster. I remember Julie and I, when we started to believe in God, we were putting dates on it. We did, once or twice. Father, we're believing God for $1,000 by the 30th. 31st came around and we didn't have our $1,000, and then what are you going to do? We quit. Then we went to option B. Got us in more trouble. And there is no option B. There's one option. If you want to be reign in this life as a king, we got one option. the just shall live by faith. And I'm not trying to be hard. I'm trying to help people. Because I look it over the Bible and I see Joshua and Caleb. That's why I have a Joshua and Caleb. Because it was one of my most favorite. That's why I called my sons Joshua and Caleb. It's because it was one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Because Joshua and Caleb knew there was impossibilities with walls, with men, with armies. But they said they staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. If God said we can have them and take them, let's go now. And then when they were in their prime, but then they got to be 80 years old. And they said, we know it's not our ability that's going to fight these guys. It's God's ability. I think of David and Goliath. All the armed men. I love that. That's why I'm positive. Like, you can say I'm positive. I say I have faith. People say to me, how are you going to do this year? Great. Have you got lots of work? I got tons of work. I do have lots of work. But when I didn't have lots of work, I still said I had lots of work. Because the Bible says you can have what you say. Whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe, you receive them, and you shall have them. You got to believe it before you see it. And it takes time because we're so used to running our lives by what we see. We're happy because everything's good. We're sad because everything's bad. Then you find people that are just oblivious to life and they just are solid. Why are they solid? I'll end with this. My dad was in China, and yous know this. Yous know this, because I've told before. But I think of this very, 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 very often. When my dad went to China, the whole highlight of his whole trip was he hated the food, he lost weight, he had a lot of exercise, and he said it was really good for him. But they went into the one thing. The highlight of his whole trip was this. They were taking Bibles in there. They went in this little room about 8x8. Isn't that what Dad said? And there's a little old man and a little old lady. And they were well in their 80s. And he was one of the, what was he? He was the top scientist in China. And he got born again. And I'm telling you, this is what faith does. I think of this story a lot. And he was one of the wealthiest people in China. He was in the government. He helped the government. He got born again. When the government found out that he was born again, or a Christian, they took him off for 2 years and beat him. And broke his legs. Broke his ankles. Broke his fingers. Took his wife, beat her every day. Put him in jail and said, she's dead, he's dead. Just curse God. Just deny Christ. Neither one of them denied Christ. Why? Because they had faith. After 3 years, wasn't it? 3 or 4 years? They got back into, he had one of the most beautiful houses in China. He had beautiful properties. They had businesses. They took everything he had. But my dad said when he went in there, he said there was such a joy and such a peace. And the old man said to my dad, he said they took everything we had, but they couldn't take Jesus. See, the world can take stuff, but they can't take Jesus. And if you got Jesus, you got the world. You got it all. Seeing is to know, to have faith. When you got Jesus, you got it all. And that's why you need to encourage yourself in the Lord. And I have people make fun of me all the time. Church people and non-church people. Oh, they're the faith one, the rich one. Oh, there's this one. I don't care what people say. I love them. I'm not even mad at them. I don't even care. You know why? Because I got faith. I know in whom I have faith in. I know who it is that's healed my body. I know who it is that's blessed my business. I don't take the credit for it. I know who it is. I know who's given me the wife that I got. And I know who's blessed our life with happiness. I know that Jesus said that everything I touch, He'll bless. I know where it comes from. Where does it come from? The Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I'm not ashamed of the gospel at all. That's why I do what I do, is because I put faith in God's word. It'll change your life. Just because my kids get sick doesn't stop me from believing God that they're healed. Like most people call me crazy. I guess I'm so convinced that God's word is real that it's actually affected my life. It'll change your life. I'm going to pray right now. Father, if there's people in here with impossible situations, or there's people listening to me with impossible situations in their life, I don't know what it is, where they're at, but God, you are real. And you'll bring people through. Father God, I'm asking you right now that you will just encourage and strengthen people. That you'll give them a hope and a dream. That you'll restore their dream, Father. Lord, I don't know, but I feel there's great sadness in somebody's heart. That their life is just so sad. And they hate the way they are. Father, I'm asking you right now, Lord, that you will just heal and restore. I bind up the power of the devil that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. You're not destroying them. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you and I praise you. And I worship you. And I glorify you. And I give you glory. Father, that heaven and earth will pass, but your word will not pass. Father, I thank you and I praise you for it. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, the most important thing you can ever do is say yes to Jesus. Jesus, come into my heart. You can't work your way to God. Because every one of us would fall short. But He's paid the price. So we can come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy. Father, I thank you and I praise you for it. I give you all the glory. It's because of you that we live and move and have our being. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I ask you, Lord, to bless the giver. And I thank you and I praise you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming today.